quick digression. I think it's good that we bring in, I would say this, but I think it's good that we bring in popular culture at certain moments, that so that we give ourselves images that we can hang on to.
Of course, but,
I'm watching a great series at the moment called The Bear, about a young man in downtown Chicago who's trying to revive a restaurant that's been passed on through the family. And it's just a brilliant portrait of a restaurant and what it means to run a restaurant, just the sheer endless chaos of running a restaurant, the extreme stress second by second as people are trying to prepare good food for a room of waiting.
Demanders.
Yes.
Demanders.
Yes.
Hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just brilliant.
Wow.
Why am I bringing this now into the conversation? I'm not sure.
Popular culture?
Yeah.
Courage somehow? The unknown?
The unknown. That's it. It is. It's the unknown. You see them in the second series, planning and preparing and thinking about what the menu is going to be, interviewing or thinking about who the servers are going to be, utterly gutting the old building and creating a completely new physical space for the restaurant.
For a restaurant that pre-existed.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. So just a...
Breaking with the past.
Absolutely breaking with
the past. Standing on new ground.
Completely. But at the same time, trying to stay true to certain traditions, yeah?
That worked.
That worked. They're part of the same community. Yeah? The restaurant still sits in the same part of town.
So it's dependent on the response of others, their reaction, their embracing of the new.
Exactly.
So, I think that's a really powerful metaphor. Can I pull a few threads on it? So you had a pre-existing restaurant that, you know, had sustained itself. So it had customers who were literally accustomed to what that restaurant had to offer, right? What was the precipitating incident that caused the restaurateur to decide to change? Was there one? Why didn't they just keep going the way they were? They had a successful business.
It's a mix of things. There is personal crisis in this.
Okay.
I think that's what the personal, the very personal struggle of the young man who's trying to make this work is at the core of the story, and is great to watch, fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is revolving around his need.
New generation, perhaps?
There's a little bit of that. There's that tension where there's a deep respect and love between him and the brother that he's lost. And that speaks to a desire to pay tribute to and mm-hmm. to continue something within the family. So there's continuity.
Okay.
There's a reverence there, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To what
an honoring of
absolutely
of what was created.
Yes.
And the legacy.
Yes. So that the brother that has we only see him in flashbacks. We sense that he's always there somehow. In different ways, his presence weighs heavy over everything. But then the new, where at some point the building is almost falling down, walls are falling down around them, collapsing as they try to renovate. Their initial plan, I think, is to spruce things up, give it a fresh coat of paint.
Just a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they end up... I mean, the walls just fall down.
So it's a complete new rebuild.
Yeah, without that having been the intention in the beginning.
Okay. All right. And what were they able to keep? Anything of the old?
The people.
The people. That is, from the restaurant's point of view right now.
Mm.
Let's call that the I.
Mm.
I, the restaurant. Now let's look at it from the perspective of the customers of that restaurant. Them. They. And I'm moving us from illuminate into amplify on this, because the next question you're going to answer is apropos this. So they had a, hopefully, a vast supply, vast number of steady customers. And suddenly, and you know what it's like to find a good restaurant where you actually enjoy the meal and, you know, it becomes part of your life if you go to the same place. I don't tend to do that, but most people do. You go back to the same place again and again. So now that's been removed. It's gone for a period of time and indefinitely, really, because it started as a small polishing job and now it's a major transformation, renovation. So what happens to the customers during that gap? Are they also taking a leap of faith? Their known has disappeared. And now there's a new offer presented to them. Looks different. Maybe they know that the same people are involved. Maybe they don't. Maybe they know the same chef, so they can assume same quality of food, but maybe they also expect the menu will be different as some time has passed. So what? Talk to me about the customer perspective.
That's a really good question. That's a really good question. Nothing, at the risk of making a mistake here, I don't think there is any part of the second season that looks at the customers. I think it would have felt wrong had the script writers decided to sort of consult.
Focus group with the actual customers, the existing customers.
Yeah, what we're enjoying here is this group of people renewing their craft, mm-hmm. exploring their craft.
So it's all about the eye. It's about what's meaningful to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that feels right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only now in our conversation, it's only mm-hmm. right now that I've even asked myself, oh, what about the customers? It's going to be very interesting to see if they bring their community with them or whether, is this one aspect of gentrification? Is their old, if I'm honest here, looking back to season one, their old customers are going to be priced out of this.
Mm, okay. So, all right, so that's interesting.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, you've said that they elevated the level of cuisine or expense, et cetera. So they had already a customer base of people more inclined to pay for better food to begin with than, you know, the typical fast food down the lane.
I think that's fair to say, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now they've elevated the standard of food and experience and pricing further. So here's what happens then. And they've done this. This is going to sound harsh, and it's intended to. Completely oblivious to their customers' interests and needs, among other things, and ability to even pay. They've done it from their perspective because it's meaningful to them. Okay. So then what happens? They unveil it. They open. I hope, a bit of a PR campaign and announce that they're open for business. Old customers, please come back. So now these previous customers come back in. They see the increase in price. They see the menus different. They may really appreciate the beautiful surroundings and the plating and all of that. But if it's now beyond their ability to experience, even cost-wise, will they come back again? And if you then take that loyal customer base and now you've fractioned it in terms of whatever fraction will return, now you need to find a new customer base. And it may very well be that the vision of the restaurateur and the chefs is so significant to them that they are willing short term to forego the customer base and be willing to develop a new base. So it may be very different people come in the door. There will be a gap, though, because now we've got existing customers either coming or going, staying or not, and are they sufficient to recoup the investment? Are they going to be there for the long term? It's a different experience to them. The customer experience has changed. What they knew to be is no longer. So you can't assume those same people want the new, and therefore you need to reach other people. And that's true of any change. It gets to who can help you fulfill your vision of change. And if those who are already in whatever collective, whatever community you're part of, cannot or will not do that, given a change that is beyond you and your ability to fulfill on your own, when it relies, depends on others to help realize it, you have to have those others. So I want to flag that as we continue through Amplify. And Catherine, a question for you. Because Jonathan mentioned continuity. There were some things that did continue from the old. Can you speak to the value? When we talk about creating the new, it's not about discarding everything from what is past. Can you speak to that?
There are two elements to consider here. Is the artifact that we're bringing in from the old sentient or not? Here's what I mean by that. Is it a person or is it a thing? We can look at the example of a building crumbling to the ground. And in the rubble, we identify what components of the old building are still of use, of benefit, which will serve in erecting the new building. The new building may look very different from the old. It may be a completely different structure, and yet there are still some elements that can have value moving forward. The act of identifying which are still useful is an act of great discernment and requires the appreciation of nuance, because you may not be fully clear on what that new looks like yet. So it's an art and a science in itself. If the artifact that you're bringing into the new from the old is a thing, it stops there. If, as in this example of the series, it's people, it becomes much more complex, because in order for the people who are engaged in this project, let's say in the old, to come into the new expression of it, they have to change. If they remain in the old, if they remain stuck or insistent.
Wedded to it. That's the tradition. Yes. We've always gone there. It's what it was. Oh, it's changed.
Exactly. Then it won't work. And the reason why it won't work is because creating something new is not an act of replication.
Voila. But I want to highlight this again, because I often get into these conversations with clients about the difference between leadership and managing, leading and managing. And the word leading is so, it's conflated now. You know, everybody's leading. No, organizations, for one thing, do not want a lot of leading within their parameters. Because leading is changing, it's meaningfully challenging what is. And when things are working well, processes, people, etc., it doesn't serve the interest to challenge everything. You don't want to disrupt absolutely everything. You change what you see can be different and better different, but you keep the old. So when you speak, Catherine, of artifacts, you know, menu items, food, processes of, you know, managing the kitchen, setting the table, whatever the discernment allowed, a judge discerned, I hate the word judged, whatever discernment revealed was worth keeping, then you keep that as you build into the new, but exactly right with sentient beings. It is not meant to replicate what was.